It's Reese on the radio.
Brent, don't say we didn't warn you. On News Talk 1080, WTIC.
Oh, man. I got to give it up to Kevin B. Kevin just sent me a message. Kevin B, this is, by the way, this is brilliant, and it's perfect. I have a story for you. I'll tell you about it later. He says, thanks, Reese. I was pulling into a spot at Home Depot with you blaring on the radio. When you said doing the white man's bidding, right when a black dude was walking by the truck, I got stared down like I was a white supremacist. Thanks again, pal. I'm sorry, buddy. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I was just telling the truth. You should have given him an opportunity to understand what the show. Yeah, you know, that guy. But I appreciate you blaring the show nonetheless. It was great. If you're just joining us, I finally had to come and talk about this issue in Newington. And we'll get into some further details. Mark and Wes Hartford, our intrepid reporter, who's doing this story as well, because of these arrests on Saturday, which all I tried to get to the bottom of was what in the hell is the mayor of Newington deeply concerned about? I read the statement. I just don't think that they did and didn't understand what they wrote. And he kept standing by the statement, but here's where it gets worse. Jonathan Altschul then went on to suggest that I should spin it any way I wanted to. Why? The words are stupid enough. I don't need to spin them. I can use the words for the purpose of making the office look ridiculous. Again, you said it. I didn't. I asked a simple question, and let me say this to you, Jonathan, so you understand. I already know the answer to the question I'm asking. I'm trying to get you to walk into it, and I know exactly how to. I am only bringing you to the conclusion I already have, because I read the statement. I know what it meant when you wrote it, that you were not concerned about who the individuals were. You didn't care. And I'll break it down to you just so you can understand. And maybe, perhaps, I could assist you in writing better. Or at least making a public statement in a better way. Let's get back to weather and traffic. Bob Larson's got weather. Mark Christopher, he's at a BPS traffic center. And Mark, we've got to address that our good friend and meteorologist, Jason Caterina, has moved on, but not in a bad way. He's actually got a day job, so we have to wish him well.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't, like, everybody was like, where's Jason Caterina? He's a part of this family. And he's just gone, but I heard that he did get a morning gig. But
really?
I'm not exactly
nice.
Sure where. But no, we congratulate him, and we're very happy.
Oh, yeah,
for him.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling
absolutely.
Him we miss him.
We do miss him. We do miss him, and now he's getting up really early in the morning.
You know what? That's fine. I used to do that, but not that I would ever do that again. But if I had to, I probably would.
Yeah,
but,
if you had to, but yeah, why did you want to?
But I guess, you know what? I'm sure he took it because he wanted to. I'm sure that it is not a slight on working with Reese on the radio.
No, no, not at all. No, no, don't take it that way.
It's Reese on the radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
And congratulations to William F. of Washington Ports Depot. Sorry, Washington Depot. My apologies. He is our winner today of the Between Rounds Dozen Bagels a Month for 6 months. Courtesy of Between Rounds, the Bagel Bakery and Sandwich Cafe, located in South Windsor, Vernon, and Manchester. And I've been to all of them except Manchester. Did I not go to the Manchester one? I thought I did. Now, I went to Vernon, been to Vernon twice, then went to the South Windsor one, saw Chris, hung out there, and had the little bakery. I went in the freezer and saw all the stuff and the making of the bagels. It's a pretty cool operation. I'm not going to lie. I would have worked in a bakery. I would have. I totally would have. It's a great job, a cool job. Some of the people who are work there, 25 years making bagels. If you, in my head, I was sitting there going, wow, that's a lot of redundancy. But when you love what you do it forever. So yes, congratulations again to William F. of Washington Depot. I'm going to get to the phones in a second, but there's another part of this press release by, the Newington mayor, John Trister. This is the last part. We will not be intimidated and we will never be silent. We will share additional information with our community as soon as it becomes available. The whole damn press release has no information. They just know that nobody should be intimidated. Nobody should be taken. And they don't know who was taken or where they were taken or why they were taken. But they know they're not going to be intimidated. You have no info. You can't be deeply concerned about something you don't know. Okay? That's why I asked the question. I've been doing this a long time. I know how you're going to answer because I knew the statement was stupid anyway. I knew you can't be deeply concerned about things you don't know. Unless you are deeply concerned that you don't know them. That you're in the dark. You're deeply concerned, Jonathan, about your ignorance, as are we. We are deeply concerned about your office's ignorance on the matter. They informed you as a courtesy, but you didn't know who these men were. You don't know how they got here, and you don't know what they have done or what they're capable of or the conditions that led them to your town. You know nothing. So your deep concern is silly. There's nothing to spin. You were so concerned that you kept telling me, what do I think it means? I'll tell you now. I think you guys are ignorant. I think your statement was nothing more than a platitude on template. You answered the way you're supposed to answer. No one was thinking critically when they wrote it. So the reason why you were so surprised or you couldn't seem to understand why I was asking was simple. And I didn't want to lead you into an answer. I just wanted to know, what are you deeply concerned about? And now I know why you have no idea what you were deeply concerned about. Because you don't know anything. How do I know? I didn't guess. Let's read it again. Since learning of the incident, we have requested immediate information from the Hartford ICE office where inquiries have been directed. We are actively working to determine who was targeted because we don't know, whether their families have been notified because we don't know, where they are being held because we don't know, and if or how they have been charged. Because we don't know. We are deeply concerned about what we don't know. And so are we. Now does it make sense? I hope we figured it out. Let's go to Chris in Southbury. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Reese, how are you? So, yeah, I'm calling to comment on the Newington thing. And my question is this. What happened to the employer?
Yes, great question. I don't know. Well, here's a good question. Does ICE have the hold on, Chris. Does ICE have the authorization to charge him? Because are they only there in a capacity to grab the illegals?
Right. So if the mayor's so concerned, maybe he's concerned because he knew about this and he's afraid that that's going to get tied to him and he's going to be charged with aiding and abetting or harboring. I mean, because at some point, if they don't go after the employers, this will go on forever.
That's true. This, and, you know, we used to have a country where Democrats, Bill Clinton in particular, wanted to punish businesses that did this, taking opportunities from legal citizens who can work and giving them to illegals. We used to have a time where that was the sort of the common theme, and we're not there anymore. But I think you're right about that.
I appreciate you taking my call, Reese.
Thank you, Chris. Much appreciated. Thank you, sir. Mark in West Hartford is here. So you've been on this story. I see it on X. I mean, aren't you as concerned as I am?
I'm laughing because you and I didn't talk all weekend or today, and then you're on this, like, we're like-minded when we see something, we say something, right? So let me set this up. I've been going there since they opened up.
Right.
And shame on the community there, because one thing is, I know you'll never get a detail for this price ever. I leave a $40 tip. You know why? For $60. They clean your car inside and out and hand wax it. They clay bar. They do everything. It's a $300 detail.
Wow.
And I've got a pretty big truck. Oh, it's $60. It's unbelievable. Well, here's the thing. I'm just riffing off of your last caller. Now, the gas station, so what it is, there's a car washing operation attached to a little gas station / bodega.
Okay.
Now, the owners of the gas station or the people managing the gas station appear to be from the Middle East, while all those in the car wash appear to be Mexican. You know, I've talked to a couple
of Hispanic national group.
No, it's only because they actually have a Mexican flag hanging outside the operation. And okay? So sometimes I say things, but I usually try to back.
No. I'm a little stunned because, I mean, you said it, but that was just like, well, I'm sure that some of them are Hispanic. But if they're actually showing a Mexican flag, knowing that some of their members of this car wash are illegal.
So what I want to know is now does the town know, like, are they zoned for that? Is the taxes aligned with what the intent was for that property? You know, is the gas station owner? What kind of operation is this? So that's that. Now, the one thing that, you know, and I posed questions to the town manager, John Astle, and the mayor, John Trister, was, you know, like, how come they didn't arrest everybody there? Because let me tell you, everybody, I think, is assuming everybody got scooped up.
Right.
So my friend went that day and talked to the few people that didn't get arrested, trying to find out some stuff because he goes there too and you develop a relationship. I've been going there for years and they weren't sure the ones that were left behind. So, you know, you would think, you know, with the way it's presented is like they just went there, scooped everybody up. Well, why would they leave some behind? Why did they arrest just seven of them? Were they here illegally? Were they here illegally and have committed crimes?
Right.
You don't even know. But instead of them doing the homework first, now, here's the other thing is I just mentioned this to you the other day when we were on the boat ride, but it never really made that big of a deal on the news. In Newington, about a week and a half ago, there was a group of scooters. So they don't no longer ride on quads and dirt bikes. They still do, but now the new thing is scooters.
Right.
Because they could buy them legally and they could ride. Well, a car passed out a group that was impeding on his forward motion, whatever, and one of the riders took out and blew out his back window with a gun. And you know what? You will not see a public statement by either the mayor or town manager. We had a Republican, this fraud, Anastasia Yap. You remember that name?
Yeah, sure. Spoke with her.
Okay. She was arrested. She's charged. She shut the water off on a single mom with two little kids. The water was off for 54 days.
Whoa.
You know you won't get a public And you know what she sits on? The Board of Education in the town of Newington. And that one official, including Mayor John Twister and John Astle, the town manager, you cannot find a public statement related to that.
So it sounds this is a classic case of these guys have everything to say about stuff that they don't know about, but the things that they do, they completely go silent.
You got it, bingo. I mean, think about that. You had a Board of Ed member, and they asked the best they could do with her. And this is how bad the policy. Newington's a dirty town. One other time, I'll let you know a couple of the things I have. You're really dirty.
If you're moving, Mark, real quick, Mark, if you're moving a little bit, you're sounding a little muffled, so I want everybody to be able to hear you. I'm sorry about that, buddy.
I'm sorry about that.
There you go. Perfect.
Dirty, but can I tell you this one thing? I just had somebody DM me. I'm not going to out him. But this is how sad the Republican Party. Because I've been mentioning Anastasia Yap on my Mark from West Hartford on Twitter,
yeah.
I just got a DM. Just so you know, Anastasia is a Republican, which I know. Again, she's a fraud. And we don't need the black eye, and nobody wants to be sued or accused of racism. That's how weak the Republican Party is. They should want to out her. I'm unaffiliated. Why am I out her? They should want to kick her out of their party, too. They should have been up in arms in Newington, shutting the water off a single mom with two young kids. Where's the Republican Party in Newington? You're telling me not to make a big deal about this thing and tying it in?
And the crazy part is that by hiding it, here's the thing, right? By no one speaking out on it ahead of, like, in other words, getting ahead of it, right? Saying nothing about it. And then when the story becomes a big story that they have to defend, then they will throw her under the bus accordingly, right? So this is one of those things where they have to get ahead of. And look, whoever it was who sent you the DM, you know what? I would tell them, you know what? Send them, give them my cell phone number. Tell them to contact me.
Hey, can I leave it? But
tell them to contact
me
immediately.
You know I'm always working on stuff, and this just happens to be a coincidence. I swear to God, it just happened last week, and I'm working on it to verify it, but it sounds like it's legit. They cannot find Anastasia Young. She dropped off her dog at a kennel. It's been there for 50 days.
I haven't heard from her.
2 months.
I haven't heard from her.
And she abandoned a pet. This lady, but yet, here we are, we're making comments about, I mean, I could go on and on. One other day, though, I'm going to tell you all about a big story that was on the news a few years ago about Newington. But let me tell you, I'm glad somebody's putting a spotlight on Newington, because they've been dirty for a number of years, and very quietly they get away with it because they border Hartford. All the news is concentrated over there. They need sunlight over there.
Yeah, that's it. Look, again, the bottom line on this one was, and you know what, I'll tell you this, Mark, and while I got you on the phone. So when I called Jonathan and I get him on the phone, the thing that I could not understand was, he said, what don't you understand about the statement? And I said, again and again, what is the mayor deeply concerned about? And he couldn't answer it. The statement is what it is. I was like, no, what are you not getting? I just need to know what specifically he's deeply concerned about. The statement is the statement. Yeah. Then he starts arguing with me, and so I'm arguing back. Hold on. I start arguing back, and he says to me, why are you yelling at me? I said, you're the one making this, like, you're the one who's being adversarial. He goes, well, you can spin it any way you want to. I was like, I'm calling you. How are you going to tell me I can spin it any way I want to, and I'm calling you to get a statement, and you don't want to give me one?
When they answer you, when anybody, and everybody knows these red flags, they're easy, but when you get your question answered with a question, come
exactly.
on, that's a classic red flag going up the pole.
I'm like,
thanks,
dude,
brother.
Do you not understand? Like, you, and again, I know that he realized it. It's like, what is he deeply concerned about? His constituents, he's telling them.
Let me leave you with, let me leave you with this, Reese. The way he talked to you, what else does that tell you? Because I always think of this. When people talk to me the way you were talked to, he's used to doing that all the time.
Exactly.
That wasn't a one-off.
I know.
He didn't talk to you today that way just because, oh, you caught him at a bad moment. No, he's used to talking to the public and taxpayers like that in his own town.
That's exactly what I told him. I said, you guys have never been questioned. I said, you're clearly showing me that you've never been questioned by anyone, and you owe an answer to your constituents about what you are deeply concerned about. You are the one who sent out, we're deeply concerned. Well, what should your constituents be deeply concerned about? What should Newington be afraid of or deeply concerned about? And if you don't know.
And not for nothing, he could have fluffed it.
Exactly.
Right? I can give you five things that are off the beaten path and just kind of tie it in.
Exactly. Well, you know what Roseanne said? Roseanne said, you know what Roseanne said? Roseanne says, were they deeply concerned that the car wash water may be laced with DQuat? Like, how deeply concerned were they? You know? They were asking. So like, it could have been anything. Just answer the damn question.
We could go back to the beginning of my call. Maybe they're going to miss their $60 details.
Yeah.
Talk to you later, brother.
You got it, boss man. Thank you, man. Mark in West Hartford on the line. Let's get to another Mark. Mark Christopher, he's in the BPS Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
Stay locked in. Locked in. Reese on the radio is on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Let's go to Jim in Berlin calling the show. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good. How are you, Reese?
What's going on, sir?
Well, Reese, I want to just commend you for doing a great job collecting the news and reporting it accurately.
Thank you, sir.
Really, you do a fabulous job. This morning, one of your counterparts, Brian, at 7:25, got on his soapbox about this incident in Newington, and he went off. He just went off. He linked it to Nazism, and he said,
no.
This is, Yes, he used that term. He says, this is what happened in Germany. I don't want to be back 20 years looking at hindsight. And I hate to break the news to him. You know, my next door neighbors were in the concentration camp. So I know what it's like there, and I've been there. And this is not what we're dealing with. As I see it, if people break the law and they're here illegally, ICE will only go after them in a court order. And they've been served their due process. And, yeah, I hate to say it, Reese, this is a sanctuary state. So why should Brian be so upset?
Well, one, I have to hear the context. I shouldn't say context. I want to listen to the audio, but you said, just so I get it accurately, you said what time of the day was it?
7:25.
Okay, 7:25. Okay, I will listen to it. I'm usually doing other things roughly about that hour, so I know I missed it because I was doing other things. But, see, maybe I'm looking at this from a different perspective, and I'm not the type of sort of throwing under the bus and all that stuff. He's a teammate of mine. But
sure,
he and I have disagreed, like epically on a lot of things, like, you know, talking about people of color and things like that. We don't agree. I understand he is, you know, he considers me very conservative. He considers himself very neutral or down the middle. But that only reason why I'm saying, because I want to listen to it. But if he indeed, that's the point of view that he has, I almost feel, I don't know. I don't have a feeling for it. Let me just say, I take it as, maybe that is a misrepresentation of what went on, and perhaps he is taking the route of the mayor in this. And what I mean is, as I described it, the mayor says in his own statement, he doesn't know anything, right? So if that's the case, right, the press doesn't know anything, the media, nobody knows anything, the mayor doesn't know anything. They were given a courtesy that said, hey, we went down to Optimo Car Wash and we grabbed these guys and, you know, they're in ICE custody. But for all of these people not to know anything and then come up with these editorialized answers to them by saying this is like Nazi Germany without even knowing who was picked up, why they were picked up, and what are the conditions in which they were, sounds reckless to me. So I'm going to listen to the audio. In fact, I'm going to take some time during like one of the bottom or top of the hour break to listen to it so I can get a full assessment. I think what might be appropriate here is maybe I should come on Brian's show and we could have a discussion, because if he feels that way, I want to talk to him about it. I do. I really do. Because I think it's fair for him to understand where he's coming from, and maybe he can understand where the audience is coming from who think that, you know, this shouldn't be a sanctuary city. But I appreciate the call, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
You got it. Let's get another check of weather and traffic. Wait, my Mark Christopher, you were there this morning. Do you remember Brian having this conversation about what went on, or did you miss it?
The Newington thing with the ice? I think he did speak about it, but I'm popping between three stations, so I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But, yeah, I do know about the story.
Okay. All right, well, I know he brought it up, but it's a big story. So,
question.
I said, I don't want to cast aspersions on him. Maybe he had a particular angle that I'm missing here, or maybe and on radio it's misunderstood. But I'm going to listen to it so see I can get a breakdown of what his position was on it. Because I'm like, it sounds like nobody knows what happened. So it's where for me, I'm trying to figure out how anybody can have a position on something they seem to be in the dark about. They just know seven guys were arrested. That's what I'm trying to understand.
Right.
You know? It's like, I have an opinion. I don't know about these guys or why they were picked up. But anyway, we'll figure it out.
The NAACP calls him.
Whoa.
I don't think I'm allowed to read this.
It's Reese on the radio.
Let's just say some people are not fans.
On News Talk 1080.
WTIC.
We're back. It's Reese on the radio on WTIC. What am I supposed to do in this break? Oh, I've got to talk about Cracker Barrel. I've got to get into that. And this is an important conversation, but let me get these two phone calls real quick, and then I'll talk about that. Let's go to Joe in New Hampshire. How are you doing, Wall Street?
Hi. You could take this one to the bank. Those ICE members would not have gone to the car wash if there wasn't at least one of those six with a bad history, you know, whatever. other ones might have been collateral damage. I'm not saying all six, but at least one of them is something you wouldn't want out on the street. You can take that to the bank if they ever.
Even what Mark Christopher said that about the kid in New Haven, you know, look, of course you feel awful for that, but you know what? That kid being on the up and up, right? That kid's going to school. He's working. He's probably, again, with the exception of the fact that he came over came into the country illegally, outside of that, he has probably been a model citizen. But we have to consider, with everything that's going on, if he didn't take the proper measures to get him to stay, then I gotta say, look, it wasn't like you weren't warned. In fact, every advocate for illegal immigration in this country has been telling people, stay in the house, don't go anywhere, you know, do your due diligence. So it wasn't like people weren't warned. But, I mean, I get where he's coming from. But go ahead, I'm sorry, what was the last thing?
Oh, the Connecticut taxpayers are footing the bill from the time he started in the Connecticut school system. He gets free college and tuition. That has to trickle down to people like me. You know, when I lived in Connecticut, you know, I'm paying more in taxes than I would have if none of this was going on. But anyway, the main reason why I called, are you going to announce it Friday, or can I mention your relationship with ICE, you personally?
What's my relationship with ICE?
Oh, well, in September, ICE is going to keep expanding. So every state is going to have a spokesperson to come out with the number of apprehensions. And they're going to call it the state information specialist for ICE under Kristi Noem and Tom Holman. It's a $50,000 bonus. You're $50,000.
Is that for me? Is that my job now?
You get a $50,000 bonus, and you can have them on as guests. You can still keep your radio show. That's what they like about making you czar of Connecticut. You have birds have a radio.
I don't want them to do that, because then people will say it's a conflict of interest. I don't want any parts of that. But you know what? As much as I would love the paycheck, I can't do it just for integral reasons. I can't do it. But I appreciate you, Joe. Let me
$50,000 bonus.
Well, I, as much as I would want to take it, because my wife would look at me crazy sideways if I didn't, but I can't take it. Thank you, Joe. Let's get to Fred in Middletown. How are you, sir?
Hey, good. Two quick shots. So that, another iteration on the end when they came for me. So FEMA fabricated portable pop-up detention centers for American citizens who wouldn't bend the knee. And I said nothing because I was neither patriotic nor a citizen. And then they put me in one. What? Yeah, Rudy made the point. That whole thing is scary as hell. And, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's just bad. And it's that classic Hegelian dialectic. You allow chaos.
Exactly.
And we're thankful for the, so that. And then just closing with, I mean, Rush Limbaugh is everybody's hero, but he was an actor. That wasn't the real him, and he dropped some key, like, false information, like he focused on, we got to get the executive, when now we know that local is where it's at, right?
Hey, legal now. Local.
Yeah, I appreciate all right, that's it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. Good one, friend. I like that. Later on, I got some statistics I want to get into on the crime rates. In major cities across the country. And that's, it's an important, stat to get out, because you have a lot of people, spreading a lot of nonsense. And I'm not going to call it misinformation. It's just a lot of nonsense. But I wanted to get into this Cracker Barrel thing. And it's meant, look, it has turned into a joke. Its stock is plummeted as it's supposed to, because that's what happens when these folks abandon their base. And we've seen this over and over again. It's the same story over and over again. And I don't know if I've expressed this to you before, but I want a special group of individuals to hear what I am about to say. And they know who they are, and I hope the right people are listening. So, folks, this is my Cracker Barrel monologue. Cracker Barrel does not want to do business with you. They don't like you. At least now they don't. They used to love you. They used to care about you and used to care about feeding you at their restaurants. They cared about you buying their knickknacks and their little gift shop. They cared about Southern Fried Steak. I'm not a fan, but millions of you are. Plenty of you have gone there. Plenty of you have enjoyed that establishment. Some of you take family members when they come into town to your favorite one, because either the chef or the waitress or just the community in and of itself, it's a great place to go. Roland will tell you about Waffle House at another time. He travels across the country to find a Waffle House. Cracker Barrel is the same thing. It's an institution like IHOP. People go there because they're familiar with it. But Cracker Barrel doesn't want to do business with you anymore. It's decided that it's going to do business with people who never go there, who've never shown an interest in their product. They think they are more important than you. They are behaving like 16-year-old girls on Instagram. They want likes, not customers. They want to be socially accepted, not be profitable. They hate you and the brand. That's why they changed it. That's why they made it unrecognizable. That's the reason why they lied and told you that their response was overwhelmingly good, and then after the fact found out that they hated it. And it may be too late for them to turn around, because the person that's most important are its patrons, the people who have spent their money, who invested their money and their livelihoods in the restaurant. I love Cracker Barrel. I remember getting an argument not too long ago about Cracker Barrel. I was like, you go to Cracker Barrel? Oh, man, that place is great. This was only 2 weeks ago. I said, I don't go to Cracker Barrel. I was like, you ain't never had the grits at Cracker Barrel. I was like, I don't do grits. I'm like, man, you don't know what you're missing. Well, guess what Cracker Barrel is going to be missing now? That guy who was yelling at me about Cracker Barrel. He's gone now. That guy was trying to convince me to go. That guy was your word of mouth. That guy was your advertiser. That guy was working for you to get other people to go there. He celebrated you, and you shunned him. They no longer want to do business with you. They don't understand that model. The sponsors here at this network understand. It ain't about me. It ain't about Brian. It ain't about Brian Kilmeade. It ain't about Eric Erickson. It is about you. When they do business with WTIC, they are doing business with you. And when they don't do business with you, they've decided they don't want you. You are the person with the disposable income. You are the one who trusts the host when the host says, buy this product. Go to this store. Not only because the host has tried said product or has gone to said establishment, because he comes with it with a degree of credibility. I've done it. If a company comes in and they've got zip lines, I'm afraid of heights. But guess what? If they ask me to come down there and do the zip line and I experience it, I'm going to come in here and say, yo, I had the greatest experience in the world. I'm afraid of heights, and I did their zip line, and that zip line was amazing. You all need to try it. And if you're afraid of heights, trust me, they care about you, and they want you to have a great experience, and they help you with your fear. I would come here and explain that to you. Why? That's who they're doing business with. They, through me, are doing business with you. And Cracker Barrel doesn't care. So don't care. I see everybody online screaming and hollering, talking about Cracker Barrel. Look at what they did, man. I can't believe they would change over. Believe it. They don't want to do business with you. Why would you pine for someone who doesn't want you? Why would you be moaning and groaning about somebody who has pretty much dismissed you? After all of your years of dedication and love for a product, for them to turn around and say, we're going to go in a different direction because those people are not our kind of people. Okay. It's time to break up. Can I have my favorite sweater now? I'm going to move on. No, keep the jewelry I bought you. Those were gifts. You just have to understand that's what it is. There's nothing to be mad about. You don't even have to be outraged. You were never going to get that Southern Fried Steak again. You were never going to get it, not the way that you used to get it. You're never going to get the hospitality that you used to get at Cracker Barrel. It's over. They don't like who they are, so they chose to become something else. And this is far worse than your, you know, considerable other, your significant other, changing their hairstyle. They changed everything. I mean, they literally transitioned on you. And then when you don't go, what do you think they're going to do afterwards? They're going to call you a bigot and a racist and a homophobe because you don't want to be a part of their newfound, I don't know, wokeness. They'll only do what a jilted lover would do, berate you, which shows and quantifies the fact that they never, ever loved you in the first place. They start off by just saying, we're thinking about a change. To the point where they just say they don't want you at all. I remember someone saying that when a woman doesn't want me, I don't want them more. It's a little crass, but that's what you need to deal with, how you deal with Cracker Barrel. Well, they don't want you, so don't want them more. Take your business elsewhere. There are plenty of establishments who are seeing their opportunity, begging you to try them. Maybe some places you've never tried before. What's that guy's name? Bob Evans? Yeah. Bob Evans has got a country-style menu. Why not take another trip down to IHOP? There are plenty of establishments that are community-oriented, where people you know in your community work and eat. Cracker Barrel, let them figure it out. Let's find out how many LGBTQ transgender piercings throughout the face people show up at the new establishment.
Decline of 34% since you took over.
Yes, decline.
$250 million loss in company stock value.
Yeah, all of that. Just wait until they start begging you to come back. Just wait until they say, we were wrong. And you respond, we weren't.
Chicken tenders are fire, I ain't gonna lie.
Roland. Hey, I'm sorry, Roland, they don't want to do business with you anymore. They don't want to make chicken fingers for you anymore. It's time to say goodbye. What's the line what's the line in Age of Ultron where Jarvis says to Ultron? Just because something's beautiful doesn't mean that it lasts. And now it's over. Just reminisce. Let's get another check of traffic and weather. Bob Larson's got your meteorology weather thingy. Mark Christopher is in a VPS traffic.
Meteorology weather thingy. All right. I like that.